Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Cincy Technologies text line 251-343-0106 to get in touch with the program. That is how you do so. 1819 News is Will Blakely will be with us in about an hour, so stay right where you are. A couple of good stories to get into here in the 11 o'clock hour. Joining us now, we do this every other week, but very pleased to be joined by State Representative Jennifer Fidler of Silver Hill, joining us, my state legislator here in Fairhope. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am well. Any crazy antics over your spring break?
No crazy antics. We just basically stayed, right here in the district. I didn't do any big vacations, didn't have any big vacation plans, and stayed right here close, try to get organized for the next 3 months since I'll be, in session the whole time.
I guess you're either headed up today or you're going to head up tomorrow, but we're back at it starting tomorrow.
That's right. I usually head up first thing early in the morning. I'll probably be on the road by 6:30. We have a couple meetings at 10 in Montgomery, another one at 11, and we are in session at 1 tomorrow.
Well, we are looking forward. Well, I am looking forward to it. I won't use the collective we, but hopefully safe travels. Well, let's kind of start here. It looks to me like it's going to be a big debate about economic incentives. And I know that there's an ideological debate about whether we should do them or not, but it seems like, and generally speaking, I think this sails through, but do you think it's going to be good for our listing area, particularly Baldwin County that you represent?
I think that economic incentives fundamentally are a good idea because I think it promotes growth. And I feel like that we need to do that in the areas where we need growth across the state. I think holistically it would be a good idea to kind of figure out where those areas are, where the people, where we need to make sure we employ the people, that they actually, we do have a shortage of jobs or employment for people, and look at those areas and how we can incentivize employment in those areas through economic development.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some places that they seem to be getting all the double use, particularly in the north part of the state. I don't know. There's a lot of other things that probably need to be done to just kind of roll out the red carpet. You got to be ready. You got to be ready for the red carpet and have the workforce. We just have the state seems to be having a struggle right now with its labor participation rate, its workforce participation. Even though we have low unemployment, we just don't have enough workers. I assume that's probably universal everywhere, though.
It seems to be universal everywhere. I know, we own a restaurant and we see it here. It's, hit our home and hit our business where we're having to pay a very good wage to employees that may not have the experience that really needed, but, we're really working with the employees and trying to make sure that, we stay in business. And what happens is when, these wages keep going up because of the competition, just sheer competition drives that wage up because you're trying to stay in business and keep your employees. So then what happens to that hamburger, that cost of the hamburger? We have that hamburger price has gone up, and I feel like the people that lose the most are the ones that are on these fixed incomes, or our lower socioeconomic folks, or the post people that just not able to work physically for some reason, or, have gotten to the age where they cannot work. It's just things like this cost of living is just affecting them more. And a lot of that starts with the competition that we're seeing in, in this area.
Well, it's always been a tough place, I would imagine, to be in any kind of service industry, you know, a restaurant or hospitality or anything like that, because there's just a lot of competition here.
There is. I mean, and we're growing pretty quickly. I mean, we have become this mecca for folks that would love to be in our area. I mean, I think your product is that. We've got this beautiful coastline, beautiful water, you know, beautiful skies, and everything's pretty relaxed down here. So we are the state of Alabama, you know, one of the lowest tax property states. You know, on property taxes, I mean, you couldn't, you know, we're very competitive when people are starting to look. And when I went door to door, you know, they're moving here because we're red. Some of these folks are telling me they were the reddest place they can find. So that was, you know, pretty interesting. So, yeah, we are pretty competitive.
Well, for me, it's like, well, if I grew up in Alabama, but if I could pick anywhere to live in Alabama, where would I live? I mean, there's lots of cool places, but it's tough to beat down here, you know?
It's tough to beat. It surely is. And, you know, I lived in Eufaula for years before. 8.5 years I started my career there. And I think it's one of the most beautiful places in Alabama as well. And the Muscle Shoals area is beautiful. There's several places across the state that is just truly beautiful. And we're definitely one of those places. Mobile is, you know, just a beautiful community. It has that, it's a big town with a small town atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, but the good thing about this part of the state, well, just this particular part of Baldwin County, I mean, you still got the small town feel, but you're just, you know, if you need to go to big city, you're right there. But, you know, that's the appeal for me. But I want to get something else on your peanut bill. We talked a little bit about it last time you were on, but I want to hit on it again. Your first piece of legislation, talk to us about that. I think Senator Carnley, the freshman from the Wiregrass, and you are kind of teaming up on this.
I'd love to talk to you about it. I am presenting this in committee on Wednesday at 1:30 to the Ag and Forestry Committee, and I hope that the bill will be picked to go on the House floor. But it is, it's changing the date of the referendum. So the referendum is now every 3 years. We're going to change that. The bill changes that to every 5 years. So the referendum, so that everybody knows what this is, it's just a base, it's a vote. It's a vote on a proposal. So the Peanut Association or whatever commodity group, but this is, we're strictly talking about peanuts. So that proposal is put up by the Peanut Association about how much of an assessment the peanut farmer or grower, the commercial peanut farmer or grower, will be assessed in the next year or throughout the next 5 years. And so that one of the changes is going from every 3 years having this vote to every 5 years to have the vote. The vote talks also about how the proceeds will be assessed. So the proceeds will be assessed through when you sell your peanuts to the local buying point. The buying point pays the farmer for the peanuts. A portion of that, whatever assessment that the referendum, in the referendum we agree on, or the voters agree on, that's how much will be assessed. That assessment is sent to the State Department of Agriculture, to the Agriculture Commissioner. He looks at it. He pulls off a percentage for an admin fee, which this is another change that's proposed. That admin fee would go from 5% to 3%. The fiscal note on that reduction is going to be $20,000. So once that administration is done, the Department of Agriculture, Commissioner of Agriculture, spends that money, which would be 97% of the funds and that assessment collected back to the Peanut Association. So basically, that's the bill. There's also another provision for the sheep and goats. And that audit, because it's costing so much for the audit to occur every 2 years, the proposal is to change the audit to every 5 years. So in a nutshell, those are the three or four changes, and then there's some technical things that are changed in the bill.
What is the peanut economy look like right now? I assume it's just like everything else, any other commodity. You had inflation, and that is, you know, messing with prices. But then you look at, like, all your input costs, they got to be going up as well. But, I mean, is it just generally just the price of doing business?
Well, peanut farmers just on a whole are paying 30 to 50% more on fertilizer. So this is, you know, this is the huge cost to the farmer. Cost of the land or anybody who's growing any crop, peanuts or whatever you're growing out there. And I think part of that was the issues in Ukraine, and that's where we're getting a lot of fertilizer from. But whatever, that's going to have an increased cost to our farmers. The cost of fuel, of course, hit them hard, as anyone in any kind of trucking industry or an industry that you're using and using a lot of fuel, it hit them extremely hard. So the cost of peanuts, you know, all that just rises with the cost of producing them.
Yeah, so it seems to be pretty universal for agriculture right now. But you just, it is like anything, you pass that cost along and eventually the consumers see it at the grocery store.
If they don't pass that cost along, they will not be in business. It's the same thing as the restaurant down the road who's having to pass along the cost for an increased employee wage. You know, you don't sit, it's showing up in the cost of your hamburger.
What's the, you know, this is an interesting economy, Baldwin County, because, you know, most people in Alabama, I think everything south of the Dolly Parton Bridge is just the beach or whatever. But I always hear this when people come to see us down here, like how they shocked, I guess is the word they would use, how much farmland is all throughout Baldwin County, especially, you know, if you're driving from Fairhope down to the beach or whatever. I mean, it's it seems to me like it's got to be at some point with just the way we're developing in Baldwin County and growing that farming may be kind of on its way out just by nature being a bedroom community for Mobile.
Well, you know, that is somewhat fearful for me just because I'm on that farm background. And if you start understanding soil and prime agricultural farmland, you start realizing that we need to make sure we're kind of looking out for, you know, this farm ground that's within a distance of these communities. People want local food. People want to buy local. And I feel like, you know, we do have a lot of farmland still here in Baldwin County. We've got a lot of prime agricultural farmland here in this area that we don't have in other areas of the state where we have a temperature and a climate that we can actually open ourselves up to several types of crops that we're not going to be able to grow, or the time of the year we may not be able to grow in the northern areas of the state or very north areas of the state. I think that's important. We have to keep that in mind. And yeah, we can be that bedroom community and we can be farm grounds full of subdivisions. But how's that, you know, we do have to think about, I think, our local security and national security and making sure that we're providing food for, you know, the people in our local areas.
Well, you know, and it's been a while since I've been to one of these alpha things, but at the time, talking to Jimmy Parnell and a couple of the guys that worked there, it was like this new phenomenon. I think it was Limestone County somewhere, where like you have all this farmland and then you may have a parcel of it off where you have to like kind of coexist with like a new subdivision or something like that. And I always think that looks just like what's happening here in Baldwin County, that, it, you know, just little by little, it's the population is growing and you got places for people to live, and just, you know, farmers look like there's just selling off a little bit of their land at a time.
Yeah, farmers, you know, this is, I mean, you can farm it for $8,000 or $10,000 an acre. That's the value of it. Or you can sell it for $60,000 an acre. So, you know, the farmers are generationally, you know, moving out because fiscally, this is what they're faced with. And we just talked about the rising prices in farming. So if you're not keeping up with those farm prices, then you start realizing that, you know, we might just need to sell out and go somewhere else and farm. And the farmers are having a hard time moving down the road. And when I say that, they have this big equipment and these big tractors, and they're just trying to get from point A to point B, and it may be 2 miles down the road or a mile and a half, and they have to go all the way around just because they can't get to an intersection or mailboxes or, you know, all the way around. And the residents that are living so close, the farmers really need a buffer or some sort of, because when they spray their agricultural crops, you know, there is a drift.
Right.
And that's an issue for residents and farmers.
Well, you're putting in sewer systems and utilities. And I'm sure that it doesn't go completely, you know, unaffected, that these things are kind of coexisting alongside one another, that there are impacts on the farmland itself when you put in these new neighborhoods.
Well, then, you know, all your water, sewer, electric, and that such sort of thing is, you know, in the right of way. And then you're going to see and have seen probably some more aerial spraying in this past year. Sometimes it's easier to get into a farm field if you spray it, crop dust it. It's like some of our farmers couldn't get in the field because it was too wet this past year. And then it may be easier to spray it. But then again, you know, that crop duster has to be extremely careful about drift.
Representative, we're up against a break here. Got a little long here, but always like getting you on to talk about these things. And we'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to the listening audience. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us. That was State Representative Jennifer Fidler there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Chip Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
How the folks around here have been.